Well, good afternoon, everyone. All right, I think my mic is not working so well, so let me say that again. Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, it's good to be here. I'm excited to be here. My first time in Nova Scotia, and by extension, my first time here at Pogwash. So I've heard a lot about this place, and I can see it has lived up to its reputation. It's a beautiful place. What do you say? Amen. In Ontario, we don't have the luxury of having a campground like this. It's totally different and it's not as extended as it is here. So I'm really happy to be here and to share with you some of the things that the Lord has blessed us with knowledge to do over the years. And particularly this afternoon, I want to share with you a concept or the beginning of a concept that we've been working with at iHeal for some time now. So this is not essentially a health presentation to talk about a disease or so forth. We can talk about that later on this week. But what I'm going to share with you is how we could use health as a means of connecting with people, connecting with the community, connecting with maybe our families or so that we can utilize the right arm of the gospel. What do you say? Amen. So I want to start off by letting you know what I'm going to be talking about here is iHeal in-home wellness retreat. In-home wellness retreat. And so I remember we started out this a number of years ago, and particularly I'm thinking about this one we had in the Montreal area. And what happened is this, that while we were there, we invited people in a homeless setting to come and experience, to have an experience like they've never had before. You know, over the years, as a health presenter and as a lifestyle coach working with individuals, I have recognized that I've shared a lot of information with individuals on health. I've sat with many people in personal one-on-one consultations. And there are many people who have been benefited and blessed and have received healing by God's grace, because I don't heal, God heals, amen? And persons have received healing by God's grace in following the program that we share with them. And I've noticed that there are just some that just never seem to make that transition, never seem to make that adjustment. And I've come to realize that when we take people in a personal setting, when we bring them close to us, we can effectively make a significant impact on these individuals. And I'm going to share this with you. I remember this lady, she came, she's been to different people to talk about natural health approach to her disease. And it was not after she came to one of our in-home retreats in the Montreal area that she actually really made significant difference. This lady has been struggling with diabetes for many years. And what happened is that when she came to the program, the setting, what we actually did is to model how a type of lifestyle that one could live when they go back home. And it's very simple things. There's some of the things that maybe some of you are doing even while you're here at the camp. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. And here's what happened. We had a follow-up session after that because at the time we merged this with a 24 days follow-up program that we were doing, and we will meet ever so often. And here's what happened. I remember midway in the program, this lady said to me that, you know what? For the first time in years, I've seen such a significant drop in my blood sugar. By the end of the 24 days, this is now after the weekend retreat, the lady said her blood sugar was actually normalized, and she's going to talk to her doctor to see how they can cut back on some of her medication. Are you with me there, everyone? So what I'm sharing with you is that this program, it does have an impact on the lives of individuals, and I'll share more experiences with you as we go along. But I want to set a foundation, because every good thing in life, I realize you need a good foundation. Amen? So if you are going to build this building, can we start at the roof? Why not? I start at the foundation. I mean, I could build a roof and put it aside or something and use a crane to put it up top, but that don't make sense. I'm not a builder, so understand me. I don't even know if that can work, right? But what I'm trying to say is this, that to make something substantial, we need a foundation. And the Bible does talk about foundation, doesn't it? Can anybody tell me where the Bible speaks about foundation real quick? This is not in my talk. It just came to mind, so I'm just working with it. Foundation. Okay, that's a good one. If you build your house on the sand, then the waves come and you will be gone, right? Where else do we see foundation? No other foundation can be laid but that of Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody? Now, here is another one for you. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. Ready for it? Foundation. Faith is the... Come on now. Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does the word substance mean? It's something that stands on, that you put on. So it's a foundation. Faith is a foundation of our existence as Seventh-day Adventists as well. So in other words, what I'm trying to say here, in a nutshell, foundational principles we want to share with you are this. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you did bring it with you, I want for some person, well, maybe it's not a good idea, but if you have your Bible, you can find some of these scripture passages, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, Matthew 15, 32, and Mark 6, 34, and Luke 7, 13. It'd be nice if we could have a few people read some of these texts. And I want you to notice the key thing that is mentioned here as we're looking at this text, okay? At these texts. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 14 and verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. In this text, what did the compassion of Jesus led him to do? It led him to what? Heal. So I want you to remember that word. The compassion of Jesus led him to what? Heal the sick. Let's take a look now at Matthew 15 and verse 32. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew 15 verse 32. It says here, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. So what did the compassion of Jesus lead him to do in this text? It led him to what? Feed the hungry. Can you remember that for me? The compassion of Jesus led him to what? Feed the hungry. Compassion of Jesus led him to heal. All right. Let's go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. Mark 6 verse 34. We're setting the foundation. Here it is. Mark 6 verse 34. The Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. So here in this text, the compassion of Christ led him to what? To teach. Led him to shepherd the people. Are we making sense so far? Now, let's read the final text. Luke 7 verse 13. Luke 7 verse 13. Here it is. Luke 7 13. The Bible says, here it is now. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Do not weep. So the compassion of Christ in this case caused Christ to what? Nurture, to console, to bring comfort to someone who was weeping. So 4 things we notice the compassion of Christ have done. The first one is to heal. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Christ wants his compassion to be expressed in this way in this 21st century. Yes, he does. All right, so that's the first thing. Compassion of Christ led him to heal. Secondly, compassion of Christ led him to feed the hungry. Are there hungry people in your community? Yeah? You go to most downtown in many of these large cities, and if you want to find hungry people, you see them there. So Christ's compassion, something inside of Christ always propel him to have compassion with those who are sick, with those who don't have food, with those who are weeping or mourning, and with those who need a sense of hope in this world. And this is what we try to engender in a one way or the other in the in-home wellness retreat that we try to do. And that is what we want to share with you this evening and for the next day or so, how you could actually consider doing this as well. Because here's what happened. When we can get close to the people, it makes a significant difference. Many times we may invite someone to an evangelistic series, and that's very good, and we must do that, we should do that. But sometimes people may not want to come to an evangelistic series. Maybe if you invite them to a health thing, they may come to that health thing. Are you with me there so far? So here it is now. Let's continue here. The compassion of Christ led him to meet what? Felt needs first. So when someone was sick, they needed what? Healing. That was their need. When someone was hungry, do we give someone that's hungry just the gospel just so? Good to see you. Yes. Do we just give them the gospel just so, or do we take care of that need? What's the best thing to do? Take care of the need. What's their present need? They're hungry. If you are hungry, can you focus on what's being presented? You know, when it comes to lunchtime, and you know, if a presenter is going too long, you start to feel your stomach growling, do you want to sit and listen? Not many of us would, right? We want to take care of that. So there it is. The compassion of Christ led him to meet felt needs first, physically, emotionally, mentally, and what? Spiritually. And this is the three dimension that we try to focus things on. The three dimension, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual as well. This is how God designed us. And if there is an imbalance in any of these, we're not a whole as Christ would love us to be. Does that make sense to you, everybody? And Christ wants us to be whole because the Bible says that Jesus grew in what? Wisdom and in stature and in favor with what? God and man. And Christ wants that for us as well, to be developed in this way as well. So how can I discover the needs of individuals in a culture that is so private and individualistic? How could I discover that? Any thoughts? Huh? Okay, leading them to information sessions that could help them. Any other way? Any other thoughts? I'm sorry? Make friends with them. Can I know the need of somebody if I don't get close to them? No. It's hard to tell. But there are people out there that have serious need. I remember one lady who came to one of our sessions. I remember the very last day I was doing a devotional. And to be honest with you, I don't even know how I get to be talking about that in the devotional, but what I was talking about, somehow, it touched the heart of this lady that was sitting in the audience. We've talked about a lot of things all over the weekend, but something touched her, and she started to cry. And while she was there, she just could not console herself. And we just allowed her some time to just get things together, and we continued. And you know what she said at the end of it? She said she wished this was church. You understand what I'm saying? She wished that church was like this all the time. Because she said all this weekend she came in an environment that she did not feel as if she was, you know, being judged. She didn't feel like she couldn't express herself. She was just open. Everybody was open. And she was just able to express herself. And that made a difference for her. That lady left that retreat a different person. Her life has not been the same. And she has influenced her family in a positive way. And I'm not just talking from a physical perspective, a health perspective. I'm talking from a spiritual perspective. Because the end goal is for what? The spiritual. Am I making sense here, everybody? The end goal is for spiritual because we're not looking to make people healthy sinners. Does that make sense to you? But we're helping people in a way so that they can look to Jesus because it's all about Christ. So that people can find hope in Him. But there is a vehicle that we can lead them to Christ. Does that make sense, everybody? All right, good. So how do I meet the needs of people who are skeptical and have a hard time trusting? Maybe people here in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, they're different. Maybe they're trusting, but where I'm from, I find people that are not so trusting. They're very skeptical about everything. Do you find that here? Yeah? Yeah. People everywhere are so skeptical, especially, I mean, the first time I came to Canada was in 2005. And I can tell you, Canadians are a little bit different in terms of their thinking now than in 2005. Because there's so many things that have happened that you go to somebody's door, and if you try to knock on somebody's door, they're wondering the first thing, what is this person doing here? Am I telling the truth? Even you yourself may say the same thing. What is this person doing here? But here's what happened. A couple years ago, maybe you weren't like that. But we have learned and seen so many things happening. People being scammed and all kinds of stuff happening. And so we put our guards up. We become very careful. What is he coming with? What is he going to do? You know? But here is something for you as we continue. All right. So how can we do that? Here is something for you. Ministry of Healing, page 143. It says what? Let's read it together, everybody. Whose method? Christ's method alone will give what kind of success? True success in what? Reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their what? There you go. That's the word. And then he what? Won their confidence, and then he bade them follow me. So there is a process. Would you agree with me? There is a process. And I'm sure as good Seventh-day Adventists, this is not the first we're hearing this, so I'm not even going to spend a lot of time on that. But here it is, broken down. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. So number one, the first thing Christ did, he what? Mingled. He mingled. In this concept of the in-home wellness retreat, this is a good place to mingle. We're not talking about setting this up just for an Adventist setting. We're talking about doing this for an outreach setting. Because we want people to come and experience some of the things that you and I have known over the years, whether we practice it or not, but we know we have heard these things over and over again. So here it is. So Christ mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy to them. Let me say this. People today are dying for a little bit of sympathy. People are dying for sympathy. A little bit of an appreciation. There's some men that are there that you wonder what's happening to them. They need a little sympathy. There's some women who are going through tough times who need some sympathy, some encouragement, some care to be shared with them. And in certain settings, you can do that. Christ had sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and by such, he won their confidence. And that is something that we should all try to do, to win the confidence of people. Now, question for you. Can I win somebody's confidence in one session? Does it take time? You bet it does. It takes time. And that's something that I want to encourage us to consider. If I'm going to win the confidence of someone, I need to invest time. Time. All right? And then he bade them to what? Follow me. Because if you win someone's confidence, here's what happened. The person would want to do everything you want that you are doing. Am I making sense? When Jesus won the confidence of individuals, what did the people say after that? What did the people say? Can I come with you? Right? You remember the man that Jesus healed that was demon-possessed? Didn't the man want to follow Jesus? Jesus told him to stay, take care of things in your area. And there are many others who wanted to come, but Jesus said no. Because now they've seen something. Now they've seen Jesus and that he can do amazing things. They want to follow him anywhere he goes. All right, so let's move on. Here is what it says here. Ministry of Healing 143. It says, there is need of coming close to the what? People by what? Personal effort. Personal effort. It's this one-on-one session, this one-on-one contact, personal effort that we can connect with people. If less time were given to what? Sermonizing, and more time were spent in what? Personal ministry, greater results would be seen. Is anything wrong with sermonizing, anybody? No. It's good. We need that. But it says that if we had more personal ministry, there would be a difference. So, we are to what? Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, this work will not, cannot be without fruit. So what we're seeing here is be there for people. Connect with people, right? Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice as well. Because people today are... Because most people are so individualistic, you find that nobody wants to talk to anybody about their issues or any problems that they're going through. And so you even find it among young children. They don't find people that they can talk to, whether they don't trust people or whatever the case may be. And so people start to internalize things and they just keep it to themselves because maybe they tell it to someone and they get condemned. Am I telling the truth, everybody? Yes, sometimes you try to share something with people and they condemn you. Anyway, there are many ways of practicing the what? Healing art, but there is only one that heaven approves. God's remedies are simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Drugs are expensive, both in the outlay of means and the effect it produces on the system. Now, here it is the key. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. What does that last few words say there? Can we read it together? It says what? These are the true remedies. I can't say it any better. What do we call these principles here again? We call them the what? 8 laws of health, right? That's what we call it, right? 8 laws of health. After talking about the 8 laws of health, some of you know it as New Start. But after talking about the 8 laws of health, it says these are the true remedies. So there is something important about these things. And do we all know the importance of pure air and sunlight and all of that. So I'm not even going to spend time dealing with that. But the point is that these are the true remedies. Have any of you been benefited from any of these remedies? Yeah. Amen. So here's what happened. Elsewhere in the writings, it calls those principles 8 doctors. 8 doctors. And I want to recommend or suggest to you that these are doctors that you should visit on a daily basis. Amen. Yes. Can we visit these doctors on a daily basis? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And guess what? While you're here at camp, it's a good time to visit these doctors. Amen? So that when you go back home, you just continue the lifestyle. All right. It is of little use to try to reform others by what? Attacking. Attacking. That is one reason over the years in doing health work, I've realized that people just don't want to bother with health stuff because each time it seems like they were being what? Attacked. And maybe you have done it or maybe you have experienced being attacked, but it is of little use to try to reform others by attacking what we may regard as wrong habits. What does it say? Such effort often results in more harm than good. So we could make people even more callous in what they're doing instead of helping them. What was Jesus' method? He came what? Close to the people. I've had people who I was doing presentation. And this guy in the audience, he started raising his hand and he started to ask a question about, you know, something that is more or less pretty much controversial in our church when it comes to health. Wanted me to go down that pathway. And I said, not so, my friend. There are certain things you just don't want to put before people, especially in a general setting, that is very controversial. Are you following what I'm saying here, everybody? We want to get people to a place where they can see the health message and can say, you know what? Yes, I think I want to try this. But if I come and start to attack you and say, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't this, don't that, don't, would you appreciate that? No. And you know what I've found? This is off the side now. Here's what I've found. I have found, my brother, that many young people have left the church because adults have said to them, don't this, don't that, and they keep pointing that finger at the young person, and the person, here's what happened. If you tell a person, don't this, don't that, and they go in another setting, and they don't have principles to guide them, what do you think is going to happen when they go in this setting? They have nothing else. You understand what I'm saying? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in Babylon, what did they go by? By what mommy or daddy said, don't this, don't that? They went by principle. Principle. That's what they operated off. Principles. Anyway, the health approach will win how many souls? Many souls. Had you carried the work forward in the lines in which God intended you to? Had you done medical missionary work trying to heal soul and body, you would have seen how many? How many? Hundreds and thousands coming into the truth. So God does not want us to do a work that is, you know, more or less, I'm better than you, so you stay over there. God doesn't want us to do a work like that. God wants us to come close to the people, and then we can win them by our personal efforts. Are we clear, everybody? Okay, good. So, in almost every community, there are large numbers who will not listen to the teaching of God's word or attend any religious service. If these are reached by the gospel, it must be carried to their what? Aha! So think about this. There's some persons who will never, ever come to our evangelistic meetings. There's some persons who will never come to even your church, even if you're having a health seminar, if it is in a church. And I've seen that several times because as a health speaker, you know, many times when a church invite me, I say, listen, if you're trying to reach the community in a certain way, then it is best for you to have it in a common ground, like a community center or a library or something like that. Because many people here in Canada, I don't know, in Ontario, this is how I found it. I don't know for Nova Scotia area here because I'm, you know, I don't know how things work here. But in Ontario, people just don't want to come to a church building. As long as they see that an event is going to happen at a church, you don't see them. But when you have it in a community center or a library, depending on the size, then you find people will come out. We just had they're doing a church plant in a place called Trenton in Ontario. And from January to about April, we had a session every Monday evening where we invite people to come. And we met in a library. And people came from the community. And they came right through the series. And here's what. We were talking about health. And then we transitioned into talking about, you know, more deeper theological things. Not too deep, but just to start to build a relationship with the people. And we started to see some significant results from that. So the point is that sometimes, back to this now, we must carry it to people's home. Or also bring people in a homely setting as well. Often the relief of their physical needs is only the only avenue by which they can be approached. That's it. All right? So now that we're talking about this home thing, how do we get to this? Here's what Jesus says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's the words of Jesus. So now, let's get into that. Now that we talk about the foundation, the perspective from which all of this came from, now let's talk about how can I consider or conceptualize something like this for myself or for yourself. Let's explore this. I won't finish it today, but I'll bring it to a certain point, and then tomorrow we'll tie it all off. Tomorrow when you come, I think Stephanie, I'm not sure if she's in here still, but she needs a count because we want to make sure that we print enough handouts so that you can get it. And tomorrow we'll do a little exercise from that. So we're going to get a little bit more in it. And then tomorrow we'll do a little exercise from that. And then the next day we will show you, give you a little snippet of kind of how we go about doing this in-home wellness retreat. And I can tell you, almost all of you here could actually do this because the information is there. We try to make director there, Jonathan Zita. Some of you may or may not know him. I don't know. But that is it right there. So that's the setting. That's a group we brought out there. And does the people look happy? Can you see them, by the way? Yeah, they look happy. Believe me, they were happy. And here's what happened. Here is another one that we did sometime November last year. We did this one with this group. This is a group that I was telling you that this lady was so moved and touched by God's grace. And her life has not been the same positively since that. So that's another group there that we had out there. So those are the pictures I have to show you for that. So those are the ones that we talked about there. One was done in spring. And as you can see, that was a test run with the iHeal coaches. This is where we were training our iHeal coaches. That's, as you can see, with iHeal, to share with them how they can do this. And you're going to see in a little while how that works out. And also we did one with church members and the community. So here's what happened. This is not just an Adventist thing. If you're going to do something like this, invite people from the community so that they can come and be an experience the Sabbath, experience something, experience healthy cooking or something like that. Bring people from the community so that they can have a wonderful experience as well. And there are other persons who had more smaller settings in their home, like they may have like 2-3 people that come in and they will go through the whole program as well. So in advertising, maybe I'm running ahead of myself here now, we have a little flyer thing that we put up that people can see what the whole thing is about. Now listen, one of the things we try to do at iHeal, we try to do forward thinking in the sense that we try to rule out certain objections before they arise, okay? And to make sure that we have all our dots, our I's dot and our T's crossed. And here's what happened. We put this information out. We let people know what it's going to be all about. And this will be in the document that you will get tomorrow. We let them know what it's all about in our advertising. So it's important to advertise so people can know what is what. The application process, real simple. Of course, we just collect basic information from individuals. One of the things we want to know, okay, for those of you who are here listening and considering something like this, you want to know a few things about people. For example, is there anyone coming with an allergy? Is that important to know? Definitely. Because here's what happened. You don't want to have a crisis situation while you have people in your care. But if you do, you need to be prepared. And one of the things we often encourage persons to do, if they're doing the in-home wellness, is at least have somebody there that is licensed in first aid CPR. Okay? Just in case, because you never know. All right? So that's one thing there. And there's some other basic information that we ask about, like what's your religious preference? Do you think that's an important question? What is your religious preference? It's a very important question to ask. We also ask, a few other things there. As I said, when you get your document, you can do that. But we also have a disclaimer. And in the handbook, we have, on the registration page, you will see that. But in the handbook, we also have these disclaimers because we want to understand, let people understand who we are, what we are about, and the kind of nature of the program that they are coming into. So, for example, who are we? Who are we? We are what? We're God's children, yes, but by identity, who are we? We're what? We're Seventh-day Adventists, right? And as Seventh-day Adventists, we have a standard, don't we? Come on, people, talk to me. I want to make sure you're following. I'm not asking you tricky questions. I mean, some of you seem you're thinking too hard. I'm not asking tricky questions, you know? We have a standard, don't we? Yes, we have a standard. What is one of our standards? For example. Sorry? Okay, we don't smoke, right? Or we shouldn't smoke, right? That's one thing. So we want to let people know that are coming that we encourage them not to smoke, right? For example, what else as a standard? No alcohol. Anything else? So, street drugs, right? We're not doing that, okay? Sorry? High perfume, high scent. Yes, and this is very important because there's some people who have allergies to high scents that could trigger a migraine headache or, you know, other allergenic reaction as well. So that's also another important thing. So that when they're coming. Now keep in mind that this is a weekend retreat. So think from that perspective as well. So I gave it away. Is it what? Sabbath, right? We do keep the Sabbath. Amen? Amen? Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure I'm in the right place. All right. So we do keep the Sabbath. So here's what happened. We want to let people know that we are going to have a time of what? Rest and relaxation. And when I get to the schedule, I'm running ahead of myself. I'm going to show you how we kind of weave that in so that even a secular person come can experience it. I remember I was doing another one in the Montreal area, and one of the first presentations I started off with was on rest. And what I did, I took it from the perspective of the scientific perspective of how rest impacts the body. Okay? So we talk about the circadian rhythm. You've heard about the circadian rhythm? Yeah? And we've heard about the circaseptan rhythm? No? Yeah? Okay. So we have the daily clock. So let's use it from that perspective. The daily clock. Okay? Our body operates in system. We have the daily clock. We have the weekly system. Built in every nerve and fiber of our being is the need to rest every 7 days. Did you know that? Yes. If we keep working, what's going to happen to us? We're going to start to deteriorate. So we try to encourage persons from that perspective, from a scientific perspective, and then we lead that into the spiritual importance of resting. And that brings it about in such a way that it is appreciated by those who hear. So we want people to know this so that as they are coming, they can know what are the standards that we have. We'll have them read disclaimer 1, disclaimer 2. We have them sign that, And then we get into that. Any questions so far? Any questions? Everything is clear? Good. Clear as crystal. So, since we have a little bit of time, I'm going to continue here so that we can get into this aspect of things, the handbook. When people come, or sometimes even before they come, what we tend to do is to give them a handbook. And I'm going to show you what it's going to look like so that once I get that to you, you will see what it is. So we have some, these are some of the nicer copies. I'm not sure if the rest I'll get will be as nice as this one, but it will still be the information. It's the information we need, correct? That's right. So here it is. So we have this guest handbook, and this is tailored. You will see when you get this, it is tailored. It has the information that you need, how to get your own thing going. And if you need help, you can just let me know. Let us know. We can be there to help you, to assist you, to guide you in that. So we have persons have a handbook like this that tells them everything about the in-home wellness retreat. Okay? For example, okay, there in the table of contents, it tells you the different things that it's going to cover and that and that and that. Now, here are some things. Take a look at this, for example. Confidentiality. One of the things I've found over the years is that people appreciate that if they're going to share something with you, that it will be what? Confidential. One of the first things I try to do in these retreats is I try to encourage people to remember whatever is discussed here must be kept confidential. Because if we don't do that, people will never open up about some of the things that they are going through. And believe you, over the years, I've heard some things people are going through that I'll never repeat because it was shared in confidentiality. But the point I'm making is this. People want to know what I'm going to share with you is valuable. I once heard a story. I don't know if it's a true story, but I heard a story. Some of you may have. Of a prayer meeting that was being held. And I guess the Spirit of God was moving in the setting in this little group. And so, you know, the leaders there in a church, they were, you know, just sharing with each other because they felt open to say. And one man started to say, you know, one of my problems is that, you know, I'm an adulterer and I, you know, I'm always finding myself tripping in that way. And next man came and he said, you know what? I just have a lying lip and I, you know, he just told his sins. And the next man, they noticed when they went around the circle, they came to the final person. The final one was a bit quiet. And they said, how comes you're not sharing? And he said to them, you know what? My problem is gossiping and I can't wait to get out of here to share some of these things you have told us. So we hope you will not be like that, right? So what happened is this. Confidentiality is very important, all right? And so we want to let people know that what you're going to talk about here is confidential. We also have an agreement. We talk about spirituality in the sense that we want people to know that what you're coming into, there will be elements of spirituality that will be discussed, okay? So that people can come who wants to come and not come and say, oh, I didn't know that we're going to get into all of this. You know, because people don't like that kind of thing, I realize. So if you let people know up front, then that will be good. And then we get into the program. We're going to do lifestyle assessment and coaching. The program, the benefits, the location, facility, all of that kind of stuff. What to pack for the retreat. We have a section there that tells you already what not to bring. Some of you mentioned some of these things earlier. We talk about laundry. If you don't have a place for laundry for people to do, it's just a short time. So, you know, you don't need laundry for 3 days, right? Smoking, no smoking, no campfire, no pets, and all of these good things. And there are reasons for all of that. Now, in the handbook, there will be a personal letter that you will see there. And the reason is you want to introduce yourself to people. Let them know what you're about. Let them know what the retreat will be about so that they can have an appreciation for all of that as well. And then now, the program foundation. So here it is. The program, the in-home wellness retreat, Let me read it from here because I'll see it better here. Okay, so listen what it says here. Maybe you're seeing it better than I am. Okay? The in-home wellness retreat is a modest health initiative agreed to be to the promotion of wholesome, healthful living. It is designed for anyone who is willing to adapt and enhance their way of living to enrich their lives for God's glory. The focus is to provide help and education to individuals and any supporting partners who face health concerns, which may include but not limited to the following disease. Now, here's what happened. Let's say you want to do an in-home wellness retreat with people who probably may have, well, maybe some of you here may not be able to do that, but you could always get someone who could come in to do that, who has like an issue with like heart disease. Like many persons have issues with heart disease, then you could tailor your thing like that. If you have experience, and I know there are some persons in here who have experience in maybe working with people to do a detox. It could be a shortened form of detox or something like that. But the idea is, if you notice at the bottom there, the whole thing is on the basis of the 8 laws of health. So we're going to encourage more or less a low fat, plant-based diet, vegetarian diet. We exercise, encourage exercise. So the program itself is structured or tailored in that sense. Now, here is another important part of this. A healthy lifestyle coaching session, which is a one-on-one session. This is where now you connect with people on a one-on-one session. So there's some things you can talk about in a general setting, but there are just other things that needs to be more specific. Because even if someone stands to talk about diabetes in a general setting, there are individuals who have particular nuances that needs to be addressed or looked into. For example, there are time to time when persons will hear myself or any of my colleagues do a presentation on a particular disease, and they would love for you to tell them, in 5 minutes or less, how can I get rid of this disease? Is that possible? No, it's not. Because if I sit with you 5 minutes and say, okay, do this, do that, do this, do that, without knowing your full history, then I could put you in danger. Am I making sense there, everybody? So it's to have a session in there that targets an individual and see the specific nuances. Now, this is where some of our iHeal coaches could come in play, because they could partner, and we do have some coaches in this area, a few, not a lot, but they could partner with you and they could take care of the coaching sessions if you so desire. Okay? Or you could get trained to do that yourself. Okay, so there are the program benefits, what people will get, guided walks, spiritual renewal thoughts, healthy cooking demonstration, and the list goes on. Quality. Now, here is something that's very important. Question for you. Show hands those who would love to go to a place that the environment is dirty, it's uncomfortable, things are thrown all over the place, and you're going to pay money to go there. Show hands those who would love to go to a place like that. I thought as much. When we're going somewhere, we want to make sure that the place is what? It's what? Comfortable. That's one thing. We want to make sure that it is what? Clean. We want to make sure that it is? Right? The other things that's appropriate there. So the first two is critical. Comfort, cleanliness. And these are 5 things we promise individuals who come for our in-home retreat. It needs to be comfortable, clean. There's going to be cooking in a healthy way, simple. Oh, let me talk about healthy cooking for a little bit. Question to you. Should food be palatable? My sister, I could only hear you alone answer. Let me ask everybody else now, since they didn't hear. Maybe my mic went out, so only you could hear me. Should food be palatable? Yes. Does God want us to eat food that tastes good? Yes. Of course. Why would God waste time to give us all these taste buds if He didn't want us to enjoy the food we eat? Am I making sense here? Yes, tell me. Did you hear that? It should look good as well. So here's, because some people eat with their eyes, right? Right. Now here's what happened. I have found, now you have to understand, I didn't grow up as a Seventh-day Adventist like maybe some of you have, okay? I learned this message of Seventh-day Adventism as I, you know, got in my later teenage years. The Lord impressed me to start read the Bible and so forth. The rest is history. Maybe some other time we could talk about that. But I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Seventh-day Adventist church or environment for that matter. And so when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, oh man, I started learning so many things. And you know what was a challenge for me? I found that persons who would present healthy eating and so, sometimes the food just didn't taste good. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I telling the truth? Yeah, sometimes the food just don't taste good. And to me, it was presented as, okay, healthy eating, the food's not going to taste good, just eat it just the same, it's healthy, it's good for you, just have it. That's how it was presented, maybe not in so many words. But here's what happened. I realized, not so. God gave us taste buds, so when we eat, the food must taste good. So we can enjoy it, and as my sister said, it must also look good as well. And we're adding another element. It should smell good too, right? That's right. So we need a taste. You see, we have senses, and that's what we're talking about. We have senses that needs to get engaged in that. I just believe that the devil will want it to seem that eating healthy or eating, you know, seeking to eat healthy should be a hard judgery kind of thing. Do you sense that as well? Yeah, I think the devil wants us to believe that. But I believe, as I said, food must be tasty, smell good, look good as well. So we also offer coaching. So those are the five C's: comfort, cleanliness, cooking, coaching, Christian. Remember, as I said earlier on, we should never seek to make people healthy sinners. The end goal is to lead people to ourselves. Amen? So that they can follow us. Amen? You don't agree with me? The end goal is to lead them to who? To Christ. Because I can eat healthy all I want. Right? I can do that. And the New Agers are doing that. Are you following me here? But the end goal must be leading and pointing people to Jesus Christ. You and I can't choose to eat healthy on our own because there's nothing we can do for ourselves that is good and noble and upbuilding except through Jesus Christ. So my choice of eating healthy, I want to follow you, Lord. I do that. I seek to follow what you say. Anyway, so this is the quality that we're talking about of the program. And of course, a schedule. Is schedule important? You know, one of the things I've learned, it's a kind of cliche now. And we're good at saying it. God is a God of order. You've heard that before, haven't you? God is a God of order. But here's the thing, God likes order as well. Amen? Amen, everybody? All right. You may not agree with me, but God likes order as well. So in essence, when people come, we encourage them into a setting. Similar like here, you know, you have a schedule, right? We have breakfast this time, lunch this time, and somebody rings a bell to let us know, okay, we're transitioning here or there. Here's what happened. Studies have shown that when people have a schedule, that even people with depression, they function more effectively. And I thought that was amazing when I saw that. I was in New York. That's where I was before coming to Canada. And I remember one morning I was watching the morning news, Good Morning America. Anybody here know Good Morning America? Yes, a few of you. And here's what happened. I was watching Good Morning America, and here's what happened. This gentleman came on and he said, I have figured a way to postpone disease until age 80 or 90. It's like, of course, I like to hear about health things, so that perked my interest. What is this man going to say now? And the man went on, and one of the first things he said is that one of the key principles is to have a schedule. Schedule. He said to have set times for doing things. Number one, he said, eat on time. Okay. I thought I read that somewhere in Ministry of Healing. Is this guy reading Ministry of Healing? And then he started talking about going to bed on time, waking the same time, and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm saying to myself, oh, wow. So this, along with some other, you know how these things go. They tell you some other things that you have to do as well to postpone this. But it was interesting that he said having a schedule. And believe me, I have found that when there is a schedule, a systematic way of doing things, our body responds much better. As we said, God is a God of order. And I believe if God is a God of order, then he would have designed our body and our system to function with order. Because the whole world, the whole universe operates on laws and order. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay. Now, finally here, as you can see, the schedule a little bit. Here is like a sample of what the Friday schedule could look like. Now, keep in mind that this is adjustable based on your location, based on the time that sunset. It's based on a few variables there, but that's something you could always adjust if you choose to do this. So we have these sessions, like on Saturday, we have, you can see from there, we encourage walking in the morning. So we have a set time, we wake up, we encourage people to come for a walk. And here's what happened. I remember the one of these that we were doing, there was this lady who had a stroke. And some people thought that this lady no way should be outside walking with the rest of the group. But is walking important? It's the best form of exercise. So we had the lady, we told the lady, listen, don't try to keep up with the group. You just do as much as you can. Okay? Even if we go and we come back and you're just 10 feet away from where you started, just keep doing something. And the lady did that. The next morning, because this was in the fall, the next morning what happened is this. It was so cold, the lady said she can't go out. So what we did, we got an exercise DVD. We put that in, and we had her doing some chair exercise. Anybody here knows Dick Nunes from 3ABN? Bodies, whatever that thing is called again. Body and Spirit. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So we had her doing some chair exercise, and she did that. And here's what happened. When the lady went home, she called me, and she said, I want you to share with my grandson how he can access some of these things because I want to keep up with the program. I said, not a problem. I spoke with the grandson on the phone. I told him what to do, where he can access it. And he had his grandma started doing that. Now listen to me. This lady, her husband also had a stroke, wasn't doing too well. And he was in some home somewhere. I don't know where the place is. But I was told that normally you have a nice 16 flight of stairs that you have to go up to get to this place. So most times she could hardly make the stairs before she could get to the landing where she could take the elevator. Now here's what happened. The lady now, I was told, was able to walk these flights of stairs without assistance. Ultimately while following the program. And then after a while, here's what happened. When she got in, instead of taking the elevator, she would walk up 4 floors to get to her husband. I'm talking about a lady who was just what? Shuffling at first, and now she's able to do this just by simple encouragement. By not allowing her to push herself too far, but showing her simple ways of doing this. The lady is doing tremendously well today. Anyway, the point is, so we have that walk, we have that, the schedule is built on certain principles that we have known to help to improve one's health. So here's what happened. What we would encourage a person to do in following a healthy lifestyle, It is now being what? Modeled for them at the in-home setting. That's basically what it is. So if you see it happen and you begin to see the results and the effect it's having on you, wouldn't you go home and try to do the same like this lady? Of course. So that's what happened there. And that's the experience that we have seen over the years and the impact that this has had on individuals. And then on the last day, if it is a 3-day, we'll also have a mini like cooking demonstration to teach people simple things about healthy eating. And many people, believe it or not, many people out there in the secular world don't know half as much as some of you sitting here know in terms of eating healthy. Even if it's simple, something like clean versus unclean foods. There are many persons out there who don't know. Right? As I told you, I didn't grow up in the Adventist church. And it was someone who was not even a Seventh-day Adventist who said to me, "Don't you know you shouldn't eat pork?" I was like, "Really?" And he said to me, "You go read Leviticus 11. That's all he said. I read it. I was convicted and I stopped eating pork before I became a Christian. Just like that, right? But anyhow, and then of course we close out. But one of the things we like to do is we like to get feedback so we can know how was the program for you. And all of that you will get in this little booklet once we finish up this presentation. Did everything make sense to you this afternoon? Okay. I want to stop it here because the next part of it that we're going to get into, we'll take that to another level there. And then the next day we'll get into some other things. But I just wanted to get you a little bit of understanding on this. And if you have questions, you can come and see me after. You can see me over here for a little bit just before, you know, you go for supper. Or I will be on the inside where you will have supper as well to the far, to the back of the room over there. All right. Any question before we close? Clarice Crystal? Shall we stand as we have a word of prayer and as we go? Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness, your love, mercy to us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus and for what he has done for us. And even as earlier we were talking about the compassion of Christ and how it led him to heal individuals that were sick, basically to meet the needs of people where they are. You have called us as a people to be able to do that as well. You have equipped us. You have provided information for us so that we can share the compassion of Christ with those that we come in contact with. And I pray as we talk about this concept, we ask, Lord, that you will help that your people will understand and they see the vision behind this. Especially when we complete it tomorrow and put it all together so that they can see little things that they can do to make an impact on their neighbors, their families, and to encourage them towards better health, but not just better health, but better health spiritually. So into your hands I commit each one here this evening. Continue to bless everything that is done at this camp. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, Amen. All right, so we'll see you in a bit for your next session. Enjoy your meal.